Welcome in to the Late Night Gamecock Show. My name is Matt Anderson. I am your host. And joining me, as always, is Alex Jones of thebigspur.com. Alex, it's been a minute since I've seen you. How you doing?
Doing good. Survived the cold weather today. I was hoping to get a little bit of snow in Columbia today, but looks like we may get some snow next week if you're looking at the forecast for this next week. Might get a little winter storm, so maybe we'll get some then.
Well, the GOAT thread on thebigspur.com, like, I don't care, Alex, like, whatever you've put up, it is the weather thread. And the weather thread has probably, I'd say, five or six, you know, males, females, whatever, posters that are all over this weather stuff. And,
yeah,
I mean, I was telling my family, like, a week ago, hey, might get something. And then, of course, you know, we live in South Carolina, and, you know, you're in the capital city. I'm in Florence, and just wasn't meant to be.
You never really know until the day of.
Yeah. Yeah. Until you see it, you really don't know. Yeah. But a lot of stuff to get to tonight. I know that the men went 0-2 in basketball, and I guess that the women beat Coppin State today. I actually haven't looked. I've been kind of tied down, but I would assume they did. But Thursday night, Alex and I had a really good time. We went to D's Wings. Shout out D's.
Yep.
And we watched the Gamecock women's game against Texas. Saw them get down by 10, then fight back to win the game. Just a word of advice. If you're going anywhere with Alex Jones in public, just don't worry about a conversation, because he is signing autographs nonstop. He's taking pictures with people.
He is
kissing babies. Alex Jones is the real deal. But it was really fun, man. It was good to see you.
Yeah, a whole lot of fun. I mean, you can't go wrong with D's Wings. Like, I think, is that our maybe second time being there? So, it was a whole lot of fun. Like, I mean, you got to watch a really good game on the TV and eat really good food. Can't go wrong with that.
Absolutely. So we really, really enjoyed that. And then, Alex, you know, just looking around the rest of the country, I guess the portal is closed for everybody outside of Miami and Indiana. So we'll talk some portal stuff here tonight. I know that, you know, you can still have a player enter the portal, you know, potentially like right around midnight on Friday. So it could take up to 48 hours for their name to populate.
Yeah.
But so far, Alex, I mean, I feel like the Gamecocks have done a pretty decent job. I mean, there was some attrition, but no more than I feel like most other programs experience. So we'll talk about all of that here tonight. And Alex, you know, what's your one thing that, you know, just off the cuff that you would say about this transfer portal class? Just if I get one word from you.
One word. I'm not going to be able to do one word. The one position that everybody's going to talk about is offensive line. Like, that's the one that it was keying in on. I can give you three words: lines of scrimmage, that can play that role. But I mean, we're going to dive in pretty deeply tonight to what Southcon did on lines of scrimmage and throughout that transfer portal, because I think they kind of met their needs in most areas.
I agree with you. And Alex, with that being said, let's go ahead and get into the Late Night Gamecock Show.
Gonna turn on the late night show. Hear what's going down in Cooktown.
Welcome back into the show again. My name is Matt Anderson, and joining me is Alex Jones of thebigspur.com. It is January 18th. Super pumped up here that we got Deputy Smitty in the chat box. What is up, Smitty? Always good to see you. You are a rock star, and we're so happy to have you a part of the Chief Sports Network. Alex, you know, I look back on these couple games for the men, and what stands out to me, and I hate it, I really do, because it's getting like a broken record, but it's three-point shooting. You're 7 of 30 and 8 of 25 in the last couple games there. I mean, I'm no rocket scientist, but I can do the math really quick. 8 divided by 55. Oh, sorry. No, 15 divided by 55. Let's do it right, everybody. 15 divided by 55, 27%. And it seems like that's the number against Power 5 teams and now SEC teams. It's a hard way to make a living when you're jacking up almost 30 threes a game and making one less than one third of them.
It sounds easy to say, but if South Carolina's not making shots, it's going to be tough just because of, you know, the rebounding hasn't quite been there on really offense and defense. And they were talking on the broadcast in that Auburn game. I can't remember the exact stats, but it was be it that South Carolina is really good from the free throw line compared to in the top of the rank in the SEC and also from a three-point defense. And there's another stat. I can't remember what it was. But then it was just – it really just comes down to shooting. And with this team, and you saw that in the LSU game in that first half, they were able to build that big lead because they shot really well. And, when you watch that game against LSU, you realize, okay, South Carolina doesn't really have to shoot as well as they did in that first half to be in a lot of these games. But they did, and you knew they can do have nights like that. But then it's just in these games at Auburn, there were so many wide open shots. I mean, they had shots after shot open that, you know, if they just knock them down, maybe two or three of those, they're going to win that game just because I thought they played defense pretty well. But then it's just the interior rebounding too. You saw that in that Auburn game and really in that Arkansas game too, where some of those athletic bigs that Arkansas has, it was just way too much for South Carolina to handle. And when South Carolina's not going to be making shots, I mean, it's that simple. It sounds pretty, you know, elementary for in this when I say it, but if South Carolina's not making shots, it's not going to be a good thing because they just can't get those offensive rebounds. Then that kind of leads into the defensive side of the ball as well.
I mean, I'm just looking at these box scores again. It really is tough to continue to look at them, but I always say in college basketball, it's a game of runs, right? So if you've heard me say this once, you're going to hear me say it till the end of time. Basketball is a game of runs. You want the best run in the game and you want the last run in the game. And the Gamecocks didn't have that really in either of the games this past week on the men's side. But on top of that, Alex, I always say you want to stay connected. So what does connected mean? Connected means like if you don't have the lead, don't let the team go on a big run. You know, keep it within 2 to 3 possessions. And looking at, the Arkansas game, man, I mean, holy crap. You're down 50 to 36 or 38 at halftime. You have the game kind of connected, right, where it's 6 points with like 3 or 4 minutes to go in the first half. And then you let the team go on a little run. Now it's 12. And, I mean, Alex, I was talking to you and we were texting back and forth during the game. For God's sake, Arkansas was throwing alley-oops off the background. Like, it was NBA It was just them having fun, and the Gamecocks couldn't do anything at all to stop it. Then you go to Auburn, and look, the Gamecocks in their last 4 tries against Auburn have lost by a margin of 22.5 points. So it got a little bit better. They lost by 4. But at halftime, you're only down 6 points. And you fight back. You kind of stay connected with Auburn the entire time. And then it's just a little too late when it comes to the closing minutes of a game. And look, I said it the other day, and I'll stick by this, Alex. Look, the Gamecocks hit 15 threes in the last 2 games. I believe their opponents only hit 10. So it's not just three-point shooting. It's not just if the Gamecocks shoot well from 3, they're going to find a way to stay in it, be in the game, win the game. There's so many things, and, you know, I'm looking at it right now, and the chat box is great. You know, Blake says rebound and interior play, last in the conference in rebounds and blocks. I would guess to say we're last in the SEC interior scoring as well. Absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at Jimmy's comment. We're a shooting team that can't shoot. Trey said this B-ball team just stinks. Jimmy says, again, when you give up 68 points in the paint, you win no games. It's
– Yeah, points in the paint.
Find the flaw. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we knew coming into the season that points in the paint was probably going to be somewhere where this team could struggle. And you thought, okay, well, South Carolina can shoot well enough in those games where maybe they can kind of, you know, correct some of that. But it just hasn't happened. And when you're not making those threes, you know, and the team like Auburn or Arkansas are dominating you in the paint, like it's hard to keep up. And you're able to keep up a little bit in that Auburn game, but just, you know, the shots just weren't falling. Again, it sounds simple, but it's as simple as that with this team where the shots aren't falling. It's going to be a long night.
And I don't think Eli Ellis not playing against Auburn helped. But let's be honest, I don't know if it would have changed the outcome. It's not like Eli Ellis is going to go get 10 rebounds a game and, you know, block shots. If anything, the Gamecocks might have had 5 to 7 more three-point attempts that missed. It's very frustrating. I know that I think it was Thursday when you were on with JC and Phil. And in the chat box, you know, people were frustrated saying, wow, you know, a drink costs more than tickets to get into the men's game right now. And is it time for a change? Alex, I do think that we were the first program to start talking about Shane Beamer and maybe his status at South Carolina this past season. But I do think it's time to start talking about Lamont Paris. Look, it's really hard for me to sit here and stump for a guy who built this team around shooting that can't shoot. Like, I don't understand the roster concept. It's been 2 years with the poor roster construction. I do know that he had money in the offseason, not as much as Arkansas probably had, but enough. And it's just not a good enough team. And, you know, right now the Gamecocks are, 1-4 in conference play? You're staring down the barrel of another year where how are they going to get to NIT? Like, forget the NCAA, like the NIT.
I mean, you're 1-4 right now, and you got Oklahoma, A&M, and Florida coming up. And A&M's been a pretty good surprise for the SEC so far. They've been better. The Oklahoma game's going to be huge for South Carolina in this one. But if not, you're looking at a 1-7 type of start. And so you wonder how are they going to be able to get out of that?
Yeah, I agree, Alex. And looking, I see some comments in here. I see Big Rooster saying South Carolina's about last in the SEC when it comes to NIL money for transfer players. I mean, maybe, but I would also say that South Carolina had enough. I do believe the Gamecocks had – I know they had more than $5 million. I've heard as much as $7 million. You should have been able to put together something. And look, you know, I got my calculator out again. If you want to say $6 million divided by – I really think you can only say 8, even though they had to replace all but 2 players. I mean, you're still talking about $750,000 per player that you could have worked with. And if you're just looking at what that means in the football side of things, you could put together a pretty daggum good offensive line at $750,000 per player. I don't know if it was all used. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if it was a situation where the players weren't interested in South Carolina. That's hard to fault Lamont Paris for. I do know that, you know, he went after that kid that went to West Virginia, and mm-hmm. that guy was over $1 million a year guy. I don't think he's had a great year at West Virginia. Could he have filled a role? He's not a great 3-point shooter at West Virginia. I mean, the way that I asked some people that would know, and they just said, look, he's not a 3-point shooter. He's a bucket getter. But he's kind of like a Michi Johnson. So when you think about, you know, losing out on that kid, is the roster construction right? Does Lamont Paris need a GM? Does he just need to focus on coaching? It's one of those questions I don't have the answer to. And Alex, I believe he has an $8 to $10 million buyout. So that's why I'm still saying it might be premature to really have this conversation. But it's a conversation that I guarantee was happening around the athletics department. It's not just happening on Gamecock Chief Sports Network, you know, shows. I mean, it's not just you guys in the chat box and you guys and gals asking this question. It's very frustrating. Like I said, against Arkansas, look, Calipari is a great coach. I get it. But it was NBA Street versus – it was the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals. That's how bad it was. And someone in here in the chat box said, of course, Nick Pringle has a great game against the Gamecocks. He went for over 3 times his scoring average. He scored 15 points.
It's like we said, you know, you knew coming into the SEC slate was what you saw happen with South Carolina against Butler, Northwestern, Clemson, that these athletic big men that you're going to see in the SEC are going to give South Carolina issues just because they haven't been great in the paint. And that's, you've really seen that. You saw it against Arkansas with some of their guys, because they, I mean, Calipari is going to have the one and done types of guys, talents on that roster. And you saw that in that game. And then Auburn, it kind of showed itself too with some of the rebounding and points in the paint where it's just, it wasn't even close. You there, Matt?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I didn't know if you were finished talking. Yeah, I agree. Like, it's just it was a bad situation. It's not going to get much easier. So when you think about the women, though, I thought it was great for Shane Beamer to host some transfer kids on the night that the women were playing a top five opponent. Colonial Life Arena was rocking. I will tell you this, y'all. I was sitting right next to Alex Jones at D's Wings. And when they showed Shane Beamer and the transfer portal kids, and he immediately was like, "Can you pause it? Pause it? Pause it? I need to figure out who that is. I need to do my investigative journalism."
Yeah.
And shout out to Alex's mom. I think you said her name was Jill, right, Alex?
Yeah.
She rewinded and recorded it and sent it to Alex, the entire Shane Beamer little interview there. So shout out to Jill. But you know, that game was great, and it's one of those things that we hope can happen for the men, because Colonial Life Arena, if the women can pack it out, it means the men can too. But why are the men not? Oh, because of the product on the court. And Alex, to see the women, you know, come back from down 10, all the turnovers in that game, and find a way to win, I thought that they played really, really good basketball, and it was nice to get revenge on your one loss of the season.
Yeah, it was a game kind of throughout the middle part of that game. We were sitting there watching. You started wondering, all right, you know, South Carolina's going to have to keep this, you know, within reach getting into the fourth quarter. And they just kept battling. And, I mean, you look at it, I mean, you know, Madison Booker, Texas best player, went for 24 points, 11 to 25 shooting from the field. And you knew that was going to happen. So you needed South Carolina to have some people step up. And Joyce Edwards, Tessa Johnson went 14 and 13. And you had five in double figures with Latson being back, which is huge, just 12 points. And then Raven and Medina Okot, who Okot hit that huge three right there at the end, or right towards the end too. So, I mean, it was just one of those games where, you know, big-time players make big-time moments and big-time plays and big-time moments. And, I mean, you saw that in that game, and that really led to that win.
Yeah, I thought that the Okot three at the end there, I mean, that's just that's not a situation like a couple years ago where the girl banked in a three against Tennessee to win the SEC championship. That was a pure, smooth shot, absolute swish. And it really did close the game out. But look, you know, Alex and I couldn't hear on TV, but we could just see the environment. And that is such a big deal. I don't think, Alex, that the women will play Texas again until maybe the SEC tournament or the NCAA tournament. But
yeah,
what a statement win, undefeated still in conference. I know that, you know, they went out and played Coppin State today on the road. And Alex, I'm guessing they won that game. Did you?
Yeah, 90-48.
Yes. So this women's team is really hitting their stride, which is because, look, Gamecock fans need something to hang their hat on. And Dawn has brought that each and every year. She had a couple years to start to get things going, but now it's just a machine. And it looks like Alex and I've said, like, I think that the women's game parity is kind of leveling out. And, you know, it's not just, oh, well, we'll see somebody in the national championship again. It might be see somebody in the Final Four and you take your best shot. But Dawn Staley has those girls ready for that. And I think that game in Colonial Life Arena showed that. Alex, I do want to talk a little bit about the transfer portal here. We talked about some players last week. We might double dip here, I think. But one thing I did want to point out, and we didn't have a whole lot of time for this last episode, but I just want to look at the outgoing transfers. It's always interesting to me to see where the Gamecocks transfers end up. Dez Yu transferred last minute. It was right after they got the Heron kid. He's going to Alabama. So that's probably one of the better landing spots for Gamecock players. And good for him. Look, I think that, you know, Dez gave his all for the Gamecocks for 3 years. It really wasn't working out. He got recruited over. He got transferred over. So he'll take his shot at Alabama. Ryan Brubaker, an offensive lineman, has ended up at Virginia. Jatavius Shivers and Boaz Stanley, two offensive linemen, who both ended up at Purdue. Jaylen Brown was a weird one. Jaylen Brown didn't play this year, had a health issue. He looked like he probably wanted to get back to Missouri, but he ended up at LSU. A walk-on, or I guess he might have been scholarship, but Campbell Van Diver is an offensive lineman that's still looking for a home. Dre Jacobs ended up in Miami. He's from that area. It'll be interesting to see what he does next year. I thought that he had a pretty good career at South Carolina, given, you know, his limited opportunities. Rodney Newsome Jr., probably still waiting to see if he gets that extra transfer year. He's still looking for a school. Miles Nord, same kind of situation, still looking for another school. Tayshawn Alston is a kid that's probably going to drop down a level. He's looking for another school. Tree Babalade, he went to Nebraska, so he kind of followed Lonnie Teasley. Aaron Nolan didn't have a home last week. Alex, he's going to Memphis. Cason Henry, Louisville. Brian Rowe Jr. going to UCLA. Was really interesting to me. He took a couple of visits to the West Coast and found his home at UCLA. And I'm pulling for that kid. Obviously, things didn't work out for South Carolina. He got suspended for a game for some internal stuff. But maybe it's good for him to get away from the East Coast, get out there. We'll see what happens. Trow Ball, he transferred to Texas A&M. That's probably like the one guy that transferred in conference that will be interested to see what happens, because I do think we all like Trow and thought he had a really good opportunity. Mac Walters was a offensive lineman that was, I think, another walk-on. He's going to App State with Dowell Loggins. Peyton Argent, a kicker, still looking for a home. Jerron Willis is going to Kansas. So he's kind of following in the footsteps of another defensive end linebacker who went to Kansas. Amazion Littlejohn, I don't even know what this logo is, Alex, but he was a walk-on wide receiver, maybe scholarship.
Western Michigan.
Yeah, Xavion Hardy. A kid that probably just needs to grow up a little bit and mature. He committed to South Florida, but he ended up at Baylor. Nick Sharp's going to Michigan State. Michael Smith, that was the drama for South Carolina over the past, I don't know, I'd say 3 or 4 days. He's collecting a nice paycheck at Ole Miss. They kind of swooped in the last minute. And then getting Josiah Thompson back, I think, was pretty big, Alex. Josiah Thompson did enter the transfer portal. He went to Georgia. He went to Miami on visits. I don't know anything about his number. I don't know if it was a number thing or if it was a performance thing. Obviously, we talked about on this very show that he probably needed to perform a little bit better, even at South Carolina. But he's back, and I've said it on a couple of shows now. Alex, you know, he's a guy that if you draw up an offensive tackle on College Football 26 – that's how you draw them up. And, you know, Clem's just got to get the most out of them. But the latest commitments, Alex, that we haven't talked about, tight end Max Drag. If you're paying attention to thebigspur.com, Tony Morrell was hinting at a tight end that wasn't in the portal that might jump in. Gamecocks definitely needed a guy at tight end. So, Alex, what can you tell us about Max Drag?
Yeah, a guy that's coming back is going to have 2 years of eligibility, but coming back to his home state, he's from Chapin, played at Chapin High, or is from Chapin. And you know, I think it's going to be one of those where, you know, in this Kendall Briles offense, you've seen it from what he's done with some things at Arkansas. From a tight end perspective, they kind of like to have guys that are just that really kind of blocking tight end. And Max Drag can kind of be that guy from what we've seen from his time at App State and at UCF. So intriguing pickup there to kind of see what they do. You know, do they add another tight end to this class? But you had to get one, and there were some options there. South Carolina went after with Randy Pittman. Spencer Mermans was also involved, a Yale transfer. But end up getting, well, one on the roster today and Max Drag. And just a guy that's going to be kind of intriguing to watch in the spring to see where he kind of fits in. Just I think he can kind of help from a blocking perspective going into next year.
Yeah, Alex, I'll be right back. I got to answer this phone call, but go ahead and carry it for a minute.
Gotcha. Well, looking at what we'll kind of continue to go down, Armando Neves is another guy that a more recent commit to South kind of got since last show. And he's a guy that, you know, when you look at what South kind of needed, like, it's, you know, we've said it so many times, like, not only does South kind of need starters in the transfer portal, but you also need just bodies as well. And this is a guy that's a starter at tackle at New Mexico State. And at the very least, it's going to be interesting to watch where he can fit in from a tackle standpoint. And, you know, kind of sticking at that spot, Matt mentioned Josiah Thompson. And what, you know, how big it is for him to come back. You know, it's going to be a really intriguing kind of piece. That's what he can do in the spring and kind of watch his progress, because if he can get back to who he was as a true freshman and how he's playing that year, you know, it's something that can really be, you know, with the pieces that they have on that offensive line with Jakarius Peak from NC State, you have to imagine he's going to lock down one of those tackle spots. But there's a few guys like Emmanuel Poku at East Carolina who could kind of maybe bounce from that guard to a tackle standpoint. You know, how it all kind of pieces together. Shed Surratt, you saw him at guard and at tackle a little bit this year. But Josiah Thompson can really get back to that freshman year self that you saw, that we saw him all 2 years ago. It's really going to be interesting to kind of track to see where that offensive line shakes out, because then you really start liking that depth that they've built. And you kind of like what they've done already from a depth standpoint. But that's something that's going to be really intriguing to watch there. Kind of sticking with some of the running backs, Christian Clark was the guy that, you know, Matt mentioned. You know, sitting at that at D's wings watching the game, you see that Shane Beamer interview and with a couple of prospects sitting by Shane Beamer, and Christian Clark was one of them. And, you know, I think, you know, that running back room we talked about a little bit last week, but it's kind of been flipped in a way where it's now got some balance to it. And, you know, I'm really intrigued by Christian Clark, a guy that in that bowl game in Michigan, you really liked some of the things that you saw, some of these outside zone concepts. But one thing I kind of liked from the film that I saw in that game too was, you know, when things weren't maybe blocked all that well on the inside, or if there are linebackers in the gaps, he was able to bounce it out immediately and make some really solid runs. And you kind of see some of that explosiveness that you saw in the high school film, and you wondered coming off his injury from a freshman year if he was going to have. But, you know, really like, you know, what I saw from Christian Clark, and it just from that running back room overall, I think some of the things you like there are, you know, just some of the balance of an upperclassman to a freshman standpoint, or maybe underclassman standpoint. I mean, South Carolina hadn't signed a high school running back in two cycles. And now that you get both of those guys, with Christian Clark and the rest of those guys with, you know, I'm forgetting the name here, Sam Dixon. Yeah. You get those guys there at running back, and some of the other guys, Jabri Coleman. It now kind of balances that room out to where some of those guys can kind of act as high school signees. So really, you know, intrigued by those pickups by Stan Drayton. I think now with six high school running backs, six running backs in that room, that's kind of where that number that you like, you kind of like it to be at five at least. But now that you got six, that's really going to kind of build that room out from a competition standpoint in spring and things like that. So we'll wait. We're going to take a quick break right now and see if we can get Matt back in here in just a minute. But when we get back, we'll continue diving in to some of the things from a transfer portal standpoint, and soon Justin Lyles of Sports Cap Value will be in as well.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cars while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, ready?
You bet.
J.C. Sherbert here. Had a brilliant idea that some good friends of mine in Florence have told me about. Next time you're having a wedding or an event or anytime you got to feed a bunch of people, talk to my friends over at Flavortown Eats and Events. That's right. It's a food truck slash trailer. Prepares the food fresh on site right there for you. No hassle. It's absolutely delicious. They'll come out, turnkey solution to feed the masses at your event. Go to their website right now, FlavortownFlow.com. That's FlavortownFlow.com. They have all the contact information you need, and they are a proud sponsor of the Late Night Gamecock Show and the Chiefs Sports Network.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton, and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Go Gamecocks!
This is the Late Night Gamecock Show with the pride of Hampton County, Alex Jones. And with the king of late night, Matt Anderson. Go Gamecocks!
So welcome back into the late night Gamecock show. I do apologize for having to run real quick. But Alex, I know that you hit all the latest transfers from last week. I did quickly just want to give my take on a couple of these guys. I think that the Jabri Coleman and Christian Clark takes are no-brainers. You now have six running backs in the room, and the years are kind of split up. So for all the losses that Markell Blackwell had on the recruiting trail, you can kind of say the Gamecocks fixed that. I do like that you have Stan Drayton, who knew Coleman from his time at Penn State. But I like Christian Clark a lot, man. And it's not just because of his big game against Texas in the – or, I'm sorry, again, who did Texas play in the bowl game?
Michigan.
Yeah, it's not – Michigan's a great defense. It's not just because of that game. It has more to do with a Texas kid or Arizona kid that played at Texas and just seeing some of the explosions, some of the balance he has running the football – I think that, look, in the transfer portal, you just don't know until it's over. You don't know who's going to jump in, who's going to come in with an offer. So for the Gamecocks to be really aggressive there, I do like both those commitments. I probably like Christian Clark a little bit more. Quasheed Scott, I think, is an excellent plug-and-play candidate to start next year with SEC experience. Jacarius Peak, we all know that he's probably go ahead and put him in Sharpie at left tackle. With experience, he was a big get. Tommy, golly, I hate having pronounced this stuff. Durajaye, I think another big guy that can plug up the middle, and they had to get their DT. Shane Beamer said it, and again, I just remind folks: sometimes Shane Beamer's not lying to you. What did he do? He went out and got offensive linemen, defensive tackles, and running backs. I think that those are really, really big gets. Caleb Herring. I love that kid. I think that he has kind of like the clay that you can mold into something across from Dylan Stewart. And I was probably on an island in this hail, but I've always just thought, like, if you have Dylan Stewart on one side, it's not necessary to go break the bank for defensive end on the other side this year. I do think next year you have a track record of having really good players at defensive end that put up numbers that you can sell. But two, you step right in, you know, step right up, folks. Here's your opportunity to be the next great South Carolina defensive end. So while I would have liked to see maybe a more production there, I'm not so much worried about what the end result's going to be. Nitro Tuggle's a kid that has a great pedigree. Came from Georgia, went to Purdue, all of that. Heck of a trade to get Nitro Tuggle. And then the defensive lineman or offensive line, I can't remember, and for Boaz Stanley and Jatavius Shivers. You know, just looking through it, I think all the offensive linemen, you had to go get a lot there, and the Gamecocks did. So excited about that. I do want to check in really quick here on the chat box. Jay Frew asks, is Dez U still here? No, he's not. He's gone. He went to Alabama. Jimmy says, I think we need a safety. I don't disagree there, Alex. I don't think you can have enough safeties and defensive backs, especially because a lot of competition there. Smith went got the bag, Jimmy says. Yeah, I do think there was an avenue for him to come back to South Carolina, but I'll be honest, it's a kid I'm not sweating. The Gamecocks missing. He quit midseason. Didn't seem to know what the heck he wanted to do despite being one of the first transfers. In the portal and signing paperwork, going different places. So we'll see what happens with him. I think the kid has a world of talent, but they know it's up to Ole Miss to get that out of him now. Alex, really quick, what happened to the Texas State guy? I think that was an offensive lineman.
Yeah, Talit Lockett. He did not end up making it in for the visit.
Yeah, so I think anytime that you bring in a bunch of offensive linemen, a bunch of tackles, and despite your numbers, eventually – it's going to be a situation, well, they looked great when they didn't have anybody, and I might start, but now there's competition. There's a lot going on there. So not surprised he didn't make it in. I've been surprised at how many offensive linemen they've been able to land, Alex, truly. I know a lot of them aren't coming from Power 5 programs, Power 4 programs, but, you know, I've been surprised in a good way for South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I said it kind of before, right, as soon as you went off. Like, you needed numbers in that room, not only starters, but you needed – you got kind of had to rebuild that room with – you said a few returners with Marquis Anderson, Demolda Adjedahun, Blake Franks, Nolan Hayes, those guys. But you had to completely rebuild that room for the most part. And so it wasn't too surprised by the numbers. I mean, South Carolina kind of had no choice there.
Yeah, and I will say as well, there are a lot of guys that are still in the portal, a lot of guys that haven't found homes yet. South Carolina, they got through it. They got through the transfer portal. And look, there are some other teams around the country that are having portal issues that I don't think the Gamecocks are really having. Every year, I tell everyone every year, you're going to lose 15 to 25 kids off your roster. You hope it's not the kids that you don't want to lose. And were there scary moments there? Absolutely. Like Vicari Swain. I mean, that was one we didn't know which way it was going to go. Jalewis Solomon is going to enter the portal, not going to enter the portal. Those are the kind of guys that while, you know, Vicari's had a really good year last year. Jalewis Solomon's kind of that foundational guy that's part of the program that's been here for a couple of years now that it's kind of his turn, right? And you don't want to have to start from scratch there. So kudos to the Gamecock coaching staff, what they did in the portal. And I think it's, yeah, I'm looking at Alex. It is time to bring in Mr. Lyles from Sports Cap Value. And it is time for Rambling and Gambling with our friend Justin.
There we go. How's it going?
Good, man. Do quickly want to say I did take advantage of Justin's promo code, 3 days. Actually, Justin, you might want to fix your website because I looked at it last night. And I think today, I actually got 4 days. So okay. it must be a 72-hour window, and I might have just hit that right sweet spot. But
yeah, it's probably when I put the plays up for all our subscribers for the day. So it kind of depends on when I do it. Maybe you caught me at the right time. So, but if people want 4 days, that's what we'll give them. So,
yeah, it's really cool, Justin, because I did appreciate, you know, taking advantage of that promo. Like, I'm not a big bettor. I honestly didn't place a single bet just because my wife would kill me. Uh-huh. But, you know, just tracking it over a couple of days. You know, I have friends that gamble. They love it. And they're always like, this Twitter guy is hot or that Instagram guy is hot. And, you know, when you go to Justin, well, at least I can say it for me, Justin, tell me if I'm wrong. But everything was a one or two unit play. There weren't any 5U locks of the century or anything like that. And, you know, so yesterday I think you went out, you were plus 4 units. Wow. But outside of that, it was plus 1. Plus 2, -1. You're not breaking anyone's bank account. And I think you do it really responsibly. So I've known that about you, but I don't know. I just had a wild hair up my butt and I was like, I'm going to go ahead and do this promo code. I wanted to see if it worked, Justin, first of all. but it was good, man. So talk about your plays last night. You know, I've seen that, you know, just looking at the website, there was college basketball. There was NBA. There were some golf bets on there. So just let's talk about the week.
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of going back to what you were saying with the 1 and 2 units. Yeah. Usually mostly what I'm putting out is the 1, 2, and 3 unit plays. Obviously 3 being our most confident. Every once in a while, we'll sprinkle in a 4 and a 5 unit play, but mostly you're going to see 1 and 2s because at the end of the day, we want to grow our bank account, right? Like you said earlier, we're not here to flash, you know, bands of cash around and tell you I'm the greatest sports bettor ever. At the end of the day, if you see somebody that's yelling that they're 60-some%, run far away. Like, don't follow them. Don't. I mean, I'm just telling you. At the end of the day, you're going to go broke. It's gonna, like Matt was saying, they're going to say we got a 10-unit play or a lock, and there is no such thing as a lock. So just be cautious, I would say. But yeah, most of them you'll see 1, 2 units, and sometimes 3. Yesterday. We were actually 5 and 4, and it goes back to, well, how do we win over 4 units, 1, 5, and 4? Well, we hit on our 2-unit plays. That was the difference. So we had 1 NBA with an over with the Hornets, who've been hot on offense. Then in Golden State went over the 233.5. And then we were South Carolina covered, getting 11.5. We were on them. They kind of bounced back and actually made somewhat of a game of it. Then we missed on the over, and then we missed on the under in the NFL game. With Buffalo and Denver going, obviously, in overtime and whatnot. So, yeah, that's really the biggest thing. And then we started golf. I'm glad you brought that up. The PGA Tour really kicked off now that January's come around. So we kicked off with the Sony Open, and we usually give those out on Wednesdays with the tournament starting on Thursday. We're kind of got our fingers crossed and watching closely as we got some primetime golf going on right now. And our guy, Chris Goddard, who we put on there on our website to win, is in second place right now. So how it shakes out, fingers crossed, we got him at 50-1 right now. So looking for a nice payday to really kick this year off at sportscapvalue.com.
Yeah, and Justin, like I was kind of living vicariously through you when I was looking at them. And I was tracking it. I was like, come on, Justin, come on. And even like I think it was like the first or second night I was looking at it, you had two NBA games that you picked the over on. And it might have been like maybe like, I don't know, the NBA scores a million points, but maybe let's call it like 234 points. And it was like 234 and a half. Right. And both games finished with 234 points. So it's not just shooting into the breeze, you know, it really is a really good opportunity for you. So, Justin, what's that promo code again?
It's Gamecock, all in capital letters, no S. And, yeah, that'll get you 3 days, maybe four, if you can find the
– time it right, y'all, time it right. But, so, Justin, I know you had some stuff for us tonight. I'll let you get into it. And this is my favorite segment because one day I will take the plunge. And I'll be just following Justin nonstop.
Yeah. So obviously, I know y'all were talking about the transfer portal before I came on, and the last football of the season of college football is tomorrow night, obviously, with the national championship, Indiana hosting Miami, basically a home game for Miami. Everybody and their mom and dad is loving Miami right now, but I'm going to stick with Indiana and take it to the cash counter, and I'm going to lay, I think it's at 7.5. I checked it right before I came on the show. I'm going to lay the points and see if that thing doesn't trickle back to 7. And if not, maybe pay a little extra juice just to get that -7. But I love Indiana. I just think they're going to take care of business tomorrow night and close this thing out just for a wonderful year that they've had. The over-under is about 47.5. I'm kind of going to stick away from that. If I had a lean, I'd probably lean on the over there. Things happen. Crazy things happen in these type of games. So as far as the NFL, we're in the heart of it right now. The Bears and the Rams are playing right now. I think they're in a nail biter, 7-7. The winner of that goes on to play the Seahawks. Seahawks dominated last night. We did not have a play on that game. We kind of stayed away from it. The only one we took yesterday was the under in the first game, which did not hit between the Bills and the Broncos. So now that the Pats have beat my Texans, man, my Texans really struggled earlier today. Stroud was just looked like a deer in headlights, so to speak, in that first half, and really wasn't able to recover from that standpoint. So that was kind of one of the teams I thought if they could get the quarterback play in line, they would be tough to beat, and they weren't able to do that. So,
well, you know what? I love it that you're sticking to your guns on Indiana because you're not wrong, man. I've been on so many shows this week, and everyone's like, Miami +8.5. This is going to be the time Indiana gets tested. This is going to be the game where it's going to be a nail biter. Miami's defense is so good. The offensive line is so good. The running game is so good. But look, dude, Indiana, if they don't win it, I think I will be sad because I do find myself rooting for Indiana right now. I've said it a couple times, Kurt Cignetti is not my favorite head coach, but I did see something dubbed over where it was Indiana highlights against Oregon. And it was the Remember the Titans coach saying, "We will be perfect in every phase of the game. If you fumble, you run a mile." And it's just straight up what it is. I think it was Mike Morgan who said it. If he didn't, I'm going to attribute this to the wrong person. But he said, you know, with Indiana, man, they just – eat rocks and play with sledgehammers. Like that's what they do all day. Like they're just tough nosed guys. Mm-hmm. I don't think the moment's going to be too big for them. And, you know, 8.5 scares me in a big game like this. I don't know what the number was against Oregon, but we said this last week. I think if the number is under 10, under 10.5, even like you're wishing and hoping that Miami can cover. Nothing we've seen so far says that Indiana is not 10 points better.
Yeah, it's one of those situations that the sports books hasn't called up to Indiana. They just can't lay enough points with them, and I think that's the case here. We're seeing it around that 8.5. I mean, I think that's why you're seeing a lot of people come in on Miami. It's a sticker shock value type ordeal, and based on there's a recency bias with these first couple of games. They've looked, you know, they've looked pretty good in the playoffs. So this will be their toughest test yet. And I don't think it's going to be a home advantage for Miami. I mean, they don't go to the games anyway. So I would bet it's probably 60-40 at best, Miami-Indiana. I guarantee you it's flooding Miami right now, the state of Florida, the last couple of days with their fan base.
Yeah, the over-under was what? You said 46? Was that the number?
47.5 right now.
47.5, yeah. I don't know if I'd touch that just because I like Indiana's offense and they've been, you know, well-oiled machine. Miami's front worries me a little bit. Can they get after Mendoza there? But I still, it's so hard to go against them. Like, they're just so well-coached, as y'all's mentioned. And I think at the end of the day, they can cover that spread. We'll see. Yeah, I think it could be one of those games where a second half, you know, it's a touchdown game, then Indiana just continues to, you know, run the ball, and weigh on those Miami defensive linemen. I could just see Indiana kind of getting away with this with a 2-score win, maybe even 3-score.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to be a fun national championship game. I've said it for a while now. I do think that the best case for a team like South Carolina is for Indiana to win it. But man, you know, I do think it's probably going to be 50-50. And look, I bet Kirk Cignetti hopes that it is 90-10 Miami. He wants that. Like,
right.
It's something that it's been so fun to see. I will say eventually Carson Beck is going to show up. He hasn't shown up yet in the way that we're used to seeing Carson Beck. But it's the same thing I said last year with Indiana. Eventually, you know, that defense was going to have a game where they just couldn't handle it. And that happened last year in the playoffs. It happened last year against Ohio State. That's how I feel about this game with Miami and Carson Beck. At some point, the moment's going to get too big. Indiana's not going to make mistakes. They're going to make Miami pay. But we'll see here. It should be a lot of fun. So Justin, what else you got on the docket for us today?
I know we're kind of talking about basketball as well. We're in the heart, I guess, making our way toward the heart of conference play in college basketball. Obviously our Gamecocks are struggling 1-4 conference play. We'll see who they got this week. I don't even know who they got this week. Who do they play this coming up week? I know I'll probably discuss that. Any idea?
Go ahead, Alex.
They play Oklahoma Tuesday and then they play at Texas A&M on Saturday. Oklahoma's at home.
I got you. Yeah. And Oklahoma came off a tough loss to Alabama on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, South Carolina's got to get a win. They've got to figure something out. They get the doors blown off on them against Arkansas, and then they do respond somewhat better. But at the end of the day, you got to win ball games, and that's not what we're doing right now. So, as far as lines, I bet you're going to see probably in that 5 to 6 point range against Oklahoma, and then probably against A&M is going to see around 10 or so. It just depends on how that first game shakes out. As far as I want to kind of throw out some futures stuff, you know, kind of there now, we've kind of seen we're in that 20 game range on college basketball teams. And I'm looking at value. I kind of like Houston, what they're doing, the Houston Cougars. And I'm kind of going to want to go down a little bit. And if you want to invest on Gonzaga, I think this might be a year that Gonzaga might get through this thing. They're due to win a national championship. They've been knocking at the door. Obviously, they knocked off South Carolina in 2017, lost in the national title game, and have played in several others for that matter. And then looking down a little bit, I like Michigan State. Make a run here. Tom Izzo. I'm not the biggest Tom Izzo fan, but I like the team that he's got. And not betting with my heart here, but more with my head. And that's the key in this industry. So,
I remember, Tom Izzo had a stretch there where I think it was like 16 years, and every player that he coached played in at least one Final Four. So, Tom Izzo is Mr. March. He hasn't won a championship in a while. I do like that Houston shout out there. Houston was my pick to win the national championship before the season started. Nothing from Houston has changed my mind there. Just looking at South Carolina's games, they do have Oklahoma Tuesday night. I'm just looking at KenPom. You know, that's the best source I can find for, you know, pre-line stuff. They are favored to win that game on KenPom, 75-74, which is absolutely terrifying if you're in a Gamecock fan. Like, I think, you know, you can't trust the computer sometime based on what you've seen. But South Carolina has covered the number in a lot of games outside of Arkansas this year. They've been about 7-8 points short, so maybe they find a way to win that game. And then Texas A&M on the road Saturday. KenPom has that as Texas A&M 81, Gamecocks 73. So again, there might be some value there for the Gamecocks. I do want to hit some stuff in the chat box real quick. Big Slaw says, can you imagine if the Gamecocks get an O-line like some of the playoff teams, Miami, Bama, Indiana, Ohio State, all elite offensive lines? Yeah. Alex, you and I know this. Justin, you know this as well. College football and the NFL is a line of scrimmage league. Line of scrimmage, league, I guess in some ways a league, but line of scrimmage is everything and offensive line is huge, and the Gamecocks are going to try and retool there. Big Rooster says, I'll never pull for a Big Ten team to win the national championship. Never will, because the Big Ten commissioner will only allow us to go to a 16 team playoff if we agree to 24 teams in 3 years. They got a lot to sort out there, Big Rooster. I don't know what they're going to do. It's definitely a power play right now between the SEC and the Big Ten and what the college football playoff is going to look like. I do think eventually it'll get to 24 teams, maybe even more than that. I think that honestly, that's kind of what college football needs at this point. They do need some things that matter in the offseason. Jimmy says, hope we go to 16 team playoff. I'm all for it. Especially if you're going to continue to put in the James Madisons of the world and the Tulanes of the world.
They got to change the schedule, though. I mean, like, the NFL does a good job of playing, knocking the playoffs out in like 3 weeks, and college football should do the same. You know, 3 or 4 weeks. There's no need to have all these breaks. Just roll right in it from the conference championships. Roll in the next weekend, and let's roll. You know,
it's way too spaced out.
I mean,
week and a half in between games, or so. Like, just keep on rolling with it. And I know there a lot of it is they try to, you know, avoid competing with the NFL in certain games, but it just feels like there's ways for this to be better.
That's right.
Well, y'all, we got a little bit of time here if we let the SEC Sunday night guys take over. But I might be the only person in the world that thinks this. I think that if you're going to have a 12-team playoff and under the current settings, what you do is you take every bowl game and you just make it the NIT of college football. All the teams that didn't qualify, you're in a playoff of your own. If kids want to transfer out, if kids want to sit out for the NFL draft, you just make it meaningful. Let the guys that were reserves this year either get spotlight time for the transfer portal or for next season. I think they've got to do something to make it worthwhile for not only the fans, especially the fans, but also these players. So give me a college football NIT if you don't make the big dance.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know how you get the bowl games relevant. There's so many. I mean, you saw it this year. There were so many 5 and 7 teams that had to play. You know, and that's not what you want. You don't want to reward teams for having a losing season, so to speak. And I don't know how you do it. There's even been talks about moving some of them bowl games to the beginning of the year, you know, kind of kicking off the season as a bowl. I've heard that chatter kind of going around. I don't know what the answer is, to be honest. But in some of those bowl games, there's just too many bowl games for that matter. Like, do we really need to be playing in Birmingham? I hope I don't get roasted for that. But like, do we need a bowl game in Birmingham or – like
Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, or somebody that nobody, you know, wants to go to, like, unless you're a local or something for that matter. So I don't know. I don't have the answer. So I'll leave it to the higher ups for that.
Yeah, well, I don't think they have an answer either, Justin. Yeah. We might be waiting a while. But,
y'all,
this is a great show. Really, really appreciate Alex and Justin for being on here tonight. Justin, where can the folks find you again?
SportsCapValue.com. Again, we've got the promo code. That's Gamecock, all capital letters. Just apply that when you sign up for the 30-day membership. And it basically gives you three or four days straight of all my plays. So go check it out. We closed out the books for 2025, over 78 units for that year, and looking to go above that, hit 90 or 100. So,
yeah, and reminder, everyone, there's no – you know, buy a month and then in their promo code. Like, it's straight up. Like, there's no money that exchanges hands. If you don't like it, it's not for you, whatever.
Right.
But, make sure you do that promo. I enjoyed following it. It gave me something to do at night. So make sure you go over sportscapvalue.com, promo code Gamecock, get your 3 days. If you want to play it like I did, you can get 4 days out of it. That's awesome, too. Justin's a good sport about that. Alex, any parting shots before we call it a night for the Late Night Gamecock Show?
I meant to do this earlier in the show, but shout out to the South Carolina men's tennis team. They got a 4-3 win on the road. They're ranked number 18. Columbia went up to Columbia, New York, to play Columbia and beat number 10 Columbia 4-3. Josh Goffey's done a pretty incredible job with that program, and they're off to a pretty good start. And play Clemson on Saturday at home.
Yeah, well, I know, Alex, you'll be all over that. If you're in the area in Columbia, go check them out. It's always fun to go to a tennis match, go to a soccer match. I want to remind everybody, you will have coffee greeting your earbells tomorrow pretty early. JC usually does that around 5 a.m. And then we'll be right back in to Chief Sports Network for the next week. You got the early show from 10 to 12. You have the Inside the Gamecock show from 12 to 2. You have SEC Sunday night that's happening right now, essentially. You have JC and Morgan. You have the Late Night Gamecock show. You have Four Quarter Friday. Smitty, who was just in here, is doing a fantastic job on that show, too, with Steve. And really excited for 2026. Got a lot of content coming your way. I think you could probably watch or listen to 30-plus hours a week of Gamecock-specific content, which is what we strive to do. So, again, Justin, appreciate you, man. It was always fun to see you. And go to sportscapvalue.com, promo code Gamecock, all caps. Alex, next time we go out to eat, I really hope that the fans will leave you alone so we can actually have a conversation. He was shaking hands. He is a mover and shaker in Columbia. But, y'all, go ahead and check out SEC Sunday Night. It's coming to you right now, and we'll see you next time. See you, everybody. Guys.